Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is the political columnist for Rhode Island Monthly, Ellen Lieberman. Thank you for joining us, Ellen.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest former state Republican chairman Giovanni Ciccione. Thank you for being here, Gio.
Thanks, Ian.
Another week and another Rhode Island politician is the subject of a law enforcement investigation. This time, it's the longest-serving member of the Providence City Council, Kevin Jackson. He's accused of misusing about $12,000 in campaign contributions and embezzling $127,000 from a youth track and field organization. We've seen how this case flowed out of some initial campaign finance concerns. Gio Ciccione, do you expect other Rhode Island politicians will get caught up in this kind of attention?
Well, I'm interested to find out if the state police were starting the investigation by a review of campaign finance reports, because I think there's a lot of sloppiness.
They were. The court filings in Jackson's case show that that was how this happened.
Yeah, so I think if that's a good sign for me. If the state police have said, here's how we go investigate these things, then yes, I think there's probably a lot of other people that have slipped up or made mistakes. I think some of them may have done things as nefarious as Mr. Jackson's been accused of. So I think it's a good use of effort of the state police to start looking there.
Scott, Jackson's campaign filings, he was delinquent in filing them for a long time. What's your take on the timing for this and why it took until now for this to hit the fan?
You know, I think sometimes if you're just going to be a repeat offender, it'd be nice maybe if state law said you can't run for office anymore. How many times can you be a scofflaw and get away with it? The other thing I'd like to see would be the legislature basically hire an accounting firm, an outside accounting firm. You don't have to spend a lot of money or hire new state employees to basically audit on, you know, the way the IRS does it. On a random basis, political campaign funds, I think that would help a lot to cleaning up this process.
Ellen Lieberman, it seems like the public is responding with a lot of cynicism. It seems maybe it's positive, as Gio suggests, that this is kind of ripping off the bandage and exposing wrongdoing. How do you see the fallout from all this?
Well, we get the bandage ripped off rather chronically here in the state, and I'm waiting to see what lessons are going to be learned from it this time. I think it's kind of shameful that we're waiting so long, for example, to come back with some kind of ethics reform after the Irons decision in 2009.
Well, speaking of ethics reform, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello and Senate President Teresa Piva-Weed this week put their support behind a bill to strengthen the State Ethics Commission. This comes after the commission's ability to police lawmakers was sharply handicapped since a 2009 court decision. Some people might say a scandal is a terrible thing to waste. Their calls for Rhode Island to take up a line item veto. Gio, what else do you think needs to be done to improve state government in Rhode Island?
I think the ethics reform is long overdue. I think the line item veto makes perfect sense, and I'm frustrated to see the speaker resisting that. I think that's something that we can't wait for. But you know, look, the problem we have here is, as Cicero said, the more laws you have, the less justice you have. We have a state government that is many tentacled and too large to track. The same thing goes with the cities. We need to focus the work of government so that it's manageable. We don't need to hire more auditors. I think Scott's absolutely right that needs to happen. But, you know, let's take some of the 75 accountants that we already have and put them to work monitoring a smaller, more efficient government. That's the only way to stop the attractive nuisance that is the taxpayer purse.
Ellen Lieberman, you referred to the frequency of outbursts of corruption in Rhode Island. What do you think it would take to improve the situation?
Well, how about if we follow some of the laws we already have? I mean, we have a judicial nominating process that was reformed in the wake of the banking scandal that was supposed to iron the whimsy out of choosing judges. And we've seen various governors find and exploit loopholes in that. And it hasn't worked as the promoters thought it would. So I would just like to see us actually try to follow the laws that we already have.
Scott, if legislative leaders are being pressured to embrace some reform now, what else do you think they should adopt?
Well, you know, we can talk all we want about reforms, but look, it's run by humans. It's an imperfect system. One of the biggest problems that I've seen over the years, and I've covered Rhode Island politics here forever, is the real lack of competition for seats in the legislature. When 40% of these people are running unopposed. There's nobody to keep them on their toes. And I think that's a real problem. I wish the Republican Party, frankly, at the state level, was stronger and would have better candidates.
You're here.
What would it take to improve the GOP from your perspective as a former state chairman, Gio?
We've got two problems. I was actually at a meeting with some folks who from the American Legislative Exchange Council, and I asked them a specific question. Rhode Island is not unique in many ways, right? There's corruption everywhere. But one way we are unique is that we've got a Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce that is really the enemy of business. It is a crony capitalist, you know, supporter. The last time I saw him out there was to ask for $50 million in corporate welfare for a real estate project that went bad. This is not how you support business. And so we need to start there. We need to get what every other Republican Party in the country has, which is a group of people supporting a movement to improve the business climate. So you see some of that, the Gaspy network that's being set up, a bunch of business owners that were upset with the tolls and other issues are getting together. They're raising money. They're going to be players in this political season. And with everything else that's coming along this year, it's going to be a great opportunity for change. But unless we have the support of the reformers, the business leaders, and the folks that just want to get out there and earn a living, to be honest with you, we're not going to take advantage of that. And I think, honestly, I think the presidential politics may help us if we can take advantage of the moment.
One other related matter, the House plans to hold hearings next week on legislative grant programs. These grants have received a lot of attention since Gallison's resignation last week. Is it realistic from your perspective, Ellen? You mentioned the Judicial Nominating Commission. Do you think politics can be taken out of the legislative grant process?
No, but if we have a process, at least we establish some bright lines. At least we have a structure. If people don't follow that structure, then at least there's a basis for challenging it. If the state wants to give money to small nonprofits, and many of them, I'm sure, are very worthy, I don't think that's a bad thing. But how about if we do it not attached to legislators' names? How about if we have an actual process for that?
You think there's any chance of that happening in this climate, Scott?
No, but I think you could do a couple of things. First of all, there should be accountability baked into the system. That's the one problem. Secondly, no one who serves in the legislature should be collecting a dime off any state grant. And I think that that should be a very bright line, frankly. And I think also you have to understand that, look, part of your job as a legislator is to bring home the bacon for your district. And this is true on the state level. Every time Jack Reed gets a new grant, boy, there's a press conference. Everybody's really happy. This is the best thing since, you know, granola. And sure enough, in the state level, we just don't have enough checks and balances on it.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
From Rhode Island Monthly, Ellen Lieberman.
Thanks for having me.
And former state Republican Chairman Giovanni Ciccione.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.